Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Annie Rogers from MLB.com, covers the Royals. Annie, sorry we're a little late. It was Nate's fault. He was ranting and raving. We couldn't get him to go to a commercial break, so we apologize on his behalf.
Hashtag sorry, not
right.
Sorry.
We'll get back to
I got you some Harry Styles to make up for
see?
It, though.
Is that good enough to make up for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this a good song?
Forgiven.
Jake was scrambling around asking what was it? Watermelon Sugar is the
right,
last
that
one.
That was last week.
He's trying to find a new one, so was this good? This is the last second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. I see there. You feel better, Jake? You were scrambling around there. All right, the debut of Daniel Lynch. And I was impressed. Unfortunately, he couldn't get through five, and then Scott Barlow allowed the inherited runners to score. But give me your thoughts on the Major League debut of Daniel Lynch, how he responded, what he said, and just your reaction overall to what we saw last night.
Yeah, I think it was exactly what the Royals wanted to see. You know, he pounded the zone with some fastballs. He got a hard hit, and his command was a little shaky, but that's kind of to be expected. It's your Major League debut, and they've got some sluggers in the middle of their lineup. Cleveland does, so I think you know what really impressed me was the way that he worked around stress every inning. He had runners on in every inning, and he worked around that, and he didn't allow a run to score until, I think, the fourth. I think it was a really good debut for him. He was really happy with it. You know, he said that if he was being picky, obviously his fastball command wasn't as good as it should have been. You know, with him, if his fastball command isn't on, you know, the rest of his pitchers are going to struggle behind, too. So, you know, it's something to work on for next time, of course, and he's the kind of guy who's going to make those adjustments. But overall, the Royals are really happy and excited about what Daniel can bring to the rotation and what he brought last night.
And you said next time, and so I mean, as long as he pitches well enough, this wasn't a short-term thing. They're hoping this is a long-term solution, and he doesn't and he's here to stay. He doesn't have to go back down.
Yeah, absolutely. The Royals kind of view their minor leaguers when they're ready, and all there needs to be is an opportunity. And here was the opportunity for Daniel. The Royals will kind of go month by month with this, assessing the needs of their club. But for now, Daniel's here to stay, and that should be exciting for everyone watching.
So take us through the decision. Were you surprised that it was Jake Junis that lost a spot in the rotation? Tell us what's been said about Junis and why he was the guy to go to the bullpen and what his role is moving forward.
Yeah, so the Royals assessed their bullpen health at the end of April and realized that two of their high leverage relievers, Kyle Zimmer and Jesse Hahn, were on the injured list and didn't have a strict timeline for being back. We know a little bit about what they're doing right now, and they expect to have Jesse Hahn back sooner than later, but it still kind of put them in a tough spot. You know, they have some guys struggling back there, and they needed depth. And they looked around at their minors, their minor leagues, and who was performing at the alternate site. And really, Daniel Lynch was the standard at the alternate site, but the Royals didn't want to put him automatically in a high-leverage spot in the bullpen. That's not what they envisioned his role as, and so they wanted to bring him up as a starter. And so they looked at their rotation and thought, you know, Jacob Junis obviously has been really efficient as a starter in these four starts to start the season, but he's also been valuable as a reliever, and that's kind of how they viewed him back in spring training to start the season. So they moved him back to the bullpen. He was surprised by it. I think everybody was a little surprised by it, to have a starter who was throwing the ball well move back to the bullpen. But the Royals don't view it as a demotion. They want to see him pitch significant innings for them. And you saw last night that he did. He came in a tie game. Obviously, he missed some spots and gave up those five runs in the seventh to kind of put the Royals in a hole. But the Royals are still excited about what he can do for them at the back end of their bullpen until some high-level guys come back and they get back on track there. So you know, it was surprising, but the Royals were adamant. McKinney was adamant yesterday that they did not view this as a demotion. This is just a matter of enhancing their pitching staff overall.
So demotion or not, the thing that I think a lot of us found interesting, though, is that he was pitching really well in the starting rotation, as you said, and the guy that's pitching today, which would have been the day that Daniel Lynch was scheduled to make his first start of the season in the minors, Mike Minor is not necessarily pitching very well as a starter, and he also has a history of spending time in the bullpen as well. Was there any consideration given to putting Mike Minor in the bullpen instead of Jacob Junis? Did you hear any explanation as to maybe why they decided not to do that with him, considering the fact that he's not pitching as well as Junis right now?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, something to keep an eye on for the rest of the year. But I think the Royals, you know, they signed Mike Minor to be an innings eater starter for them, and they still view him as having that role. Part of it, too, is I think innings. Jake Junis threw 25 innings last year, and there's probably some concern about the workload for him coming back, you know, what he dealt with last year with some injuries, and going back to the bullpen allows him to kind of, decrease the innings a little bit. And Mike Minor, they signed him to be an innings eater for them in the rotation. So at least for now, that's where they're going with that. Dayton Moore talked about assessing his club every month, going month to month, and obviously they're looking at it every day, but making sure that they can make the moves they need to each month of the season to stay where they are in the standings and performance-wise. So I think Mike Minor, he's struggled, but he's also been valuable to them from a veteran point, from an experience point, and they're going to let him continue to do that.
Andy Rogers is our guest. This is kind of more of a big picture question. You know, the Royals are in first place. They've played well so far this year. They've kind of hit a little speed bump here, losing two or three to Minnesota. So it's May, and so nothing's make or break here. But coming home to have a 7-game homestand with 4 against Cleveland and 3 against the White Sox, and you're established, right, and you're in first place. So it hits different. Teams are coming after you, and you're not sneaking up on anybody. But and now they've lost 3 or 4. It kind of has the feel of at least an important homestand to where the Royals can really reestablish themselves as one of the teams to beat in this division, going up against Cleveland and going up against the White Sox, or they can kind of fall back to the pack. It's started that way a little bit, like I said, losing 3 out of 4, but there's a lot of baseball to play. This no matter what we say about it being early, this is at least a good barometer right now for the Royals, these 7 games against Cleveland and the White Sox, right?
It is, yeah. And this whole stretch, really, Friday was the start of, a 17-game stretch against American League Central opponents. So it's going to be a grind here for the next 2 weeks, and they know that. They obviously put the same emphasis on every single game, but, you just look at what the standings are, and if they lose more games than they win, obviously they're going to put themselves in a hole in the division. And then you have, you're talking about people saying, oh, was April just a fluke? All that stuff. So it's going to be a big homestand for them, and then continue on to be, next week too on the road trip, a big road trip for them. So we'll see how they bounce back. I think really the emphasis needs to be on the pitching depth and making sure that, their rotation goes deep and the bullpen is able to pick those guys up too. That's what we've kind of seen over the last few days not happen. So it is a big homestand. Obviously, every game is huge. Obviously, it's still early, but, you just look at what the standings are right now and you see that, if Cleveland is coming back, they could take over first place, and then the White Sox could also take over first place. So it's kind of going to be close here, and I think that's what's important to look at.
And look, I don't think anyone considers Detroit a factor in this thing, but most people felt like Minnesota was a real contender to win this division, and we saw their bats wake up those last 2 games against the Royals, and they won against last night against the Rangers, so they've won 3 in a row. And Nate mentioned this, and I think it's a good point. You remove Detroit, but do you think this thing could really evolve into an actual four-team race between the Twins and the White Sox and Cleveland and the Royals. I mean, the White Sox just lost Lewis Robert over the weekend. Now he's going to be out 12 to 16 weeks, so that damages them along with that injury to Eloy Jimenez in the spring. But it maybe feels like this thing could be wide open where any one of these four teams, if the Twins are getting hot now and turning things around, this seems like this could be a wild race.
Yeah, I always thought that was going to happen. From the start, I thought that this was going to be closer than what people thought it would be. I still pick, Minnesota and Chicago to stay on top, but I thought, the Royals and Cleveland, too, they can be sneaky teams that really they can mess some stuff up for other teams. They can be a surprise team, and maybe not so much of a surprise, more just making sure that they're messing with the standings and stuff, and all of a sudden you look and everybody's within half a game or a game at the end of the year. So I think it is going to be a race. I'm interested to see how Chicago responds to that injury and everything that's coming out, of a clubhouse and all that with LaRussa. So I'm intrigued to see how that all plays out. Minnesota, as you said, their bats are waking up and they're kind of getting into a rhythm. They really struggled with all of that, COVID and everything to start the season. And then Cleveland, too, they can be a sleeper. Their pitching is obviously pretty good, and their lineup isn't as strong as some of the other teams, but they do have two really good hitters in the middle of that lineup that can carry a team. So I think it's going to be really fun, maybe not for those with a rooting interest. I know it's going to be coming down to the wire, but that's what's fun about baseball. And you keep an eye on the standings, even though it's May. These games still matter just as much as they do in September.
Well, and the great thing about a baseball season is you ride the highs and lows with all the players. Is some guys are hot early for a month, and some guys are cold. And one of the guys that's gotten off to a rough start this year, but all of a sudden over the last 2 days has been knocking the cover off the ball, is Hunter Dozier. And I'm curious if you've heard anything about what's changed for him. And obviously it's only two games, but certainly looks like he started to turn a corner a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. He's he's been really hitting the ball hard this whole season, and the Royals knew it was a matter of time before those balls would fall for hits or get over the wall for home runs. When you're hitting the ball hard, there's really not much else you can do. You can't really control where the fielders are. You can kind of manipulate where the ball goes, but there still might be a fielder there. So I think he's just finally taking that turn to finding some results. It's obviously a big sigh of relief for him and for the Royals and for their lineup, just because they need him to be a force there to kind of lengthen the lineup and make sure it's as deep as possible. So it's really good to see him find some results. He's been keeping track of his quality at bats, making sure that he's working on his swing in the cage with the hitting coaches. But to finally see those results, it has to feel good.
Andy Rogers has been our guest, and we played comments from Dayton Moore about Mondesi, hopefully working his way back to the team. Was there any kind of timeline? Any guess as to when maybe they're hoping he could be back and ready to play?
Yeah, not a strict timeline. I don't think teams really like doing that so much because anything can happen between now and then, and players can feel discomfort or whatever. But they're hoping that he can go on a rehab assignment next week when the team goes on the road. Yesterday we saw him out taking ground balls, throwing, taking batting practice with the team on the field pregame before the game. So that was good to see. We hadn't seen that at all this season. He'd been out there, but not doing much work. So for him to go kind of max effort out there with them for their pregame work, it is really good to see. And hopefully, if all goes well this week, they can send them to a rehab assignment. It's nice that the minor league season is back again. Tonight is opening night, so they can send their players over to Omaha or Northwest Arkansas and get them some of that back before he comes back.
And, of course, now that the minor league season has begun, Annie, the official countdown to Bobby Witt Jr. has started on the Border Patrol, so we'll start that weekly dumb question I ask you every week. Hey, any update on Bobby Witt Jr.? So prepare for that, and we'll start that next Tuesday, Annie. I know you're excited.
Great. I can't wait.
That's right. That's right. You're speaking for Kansas City right there. Thank you, Annie. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good day.
I think she can wait. That's
well. I thought that sounded like very enthusiastic, mm-hmm. Genuine excitement.
Because I got nothing. I see videos of him, the alternate side, and stuff like that, whatever. But then you give me box scores, we'll go over them every day if we have to. Unless they're not good, then I won't mention them. That's the way right. I work. That's the way I handle things around here.
Right.
He goes 3 for 5 with a big old dong the night before. Then you're going to hear about it on this show. I can promise you that.
This is going to become the Bolton Witt show.
I don't know about that. Maybe. There's a lot of things.
I want more dong.
I do.
The Bolton Witt Patrol.
I do. I like to speak things into existence on this show. I've been pretty good.
I want more dongs.
I feel like we kept talking about Orlando Brown Jr. I was shunned. I was stiff-armed. I was slapped. People threw poop at me and rang the bell and said, shame. Shame as I walked down the hallway at Union Broadcasting. But then the Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown Jr. I demanded.
Shame.
I begged.
Shame.
I asked. I pleaded.
Shame.
I hoped.
Mm-hmm.
For Nick Bolton. Again, people throwing things at me. Jake was ringing the bell.
Shame. Shame.
And I got Nick Bolton.
Shame.
Oh, we're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. That's no, I'm not going out on a limb there. I'm just going to keep you updated.
He's bringing Powell.
I will read the box scores every day for you so you don't have to. And I'll tell you what he does. Unless he doesn't do well, then we don't talk about it.
I'm going to find something else to talk about.
Right. And you, in your ass, better believe Asa Lacy is going to get a pretty good treatment on this show too. I'll let you know what he's doing.
Well, my ass believes that.
Well, you know what? I'll sprinkle in some Jackson Kowar as well.
Will you?
Because in the past, it's like, well, the only thing we got to look forward to are these prospects because the big league team sucks. And then when the big league team's good, then we don't care about the prospects. I would like to do both because the big league team is good. And there are some golden nuggets of baseball waiting to be delivered to Kauffman Stadium.
Y'all can quote me, y'all can do what y'all want to, but we're going to put something on their ass.
Right.
And you can believe that.
That's right. Aren't you excited about the games?
Eddie Kennison drop.
Don't you want to see box scores of Bobby Witt Jr.? Don't you want to see real outings against other teams from other organizations?
Yes.
From Jackson Kowar and Asa Lacy?
Yes. Of course I do.
Talk about it.
I'd like to go watch him play.
Well.
In person. That'd be fun.
Yes, 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 yes.
I can't believe the heel turn that we have experienced watching you turn on Adalberto Mondesi.
I think I've actually come up with a great solution
to the
situation.
You were a tag team, and then he turned his back. And you hit him with a chair.
Yeah, right over the back.
That's not fair.
You hit him with
right.
a chair.
Nope.
Smack.
And you allow the other team to pin him, and then and you laughed, and then you left with the other team.
And you
left with the anti-Mondesi team.
You threw it at him.
That's
Scott
not
Hall
that's,
style.
I think that's an unfair characterization of how this happened.
Are you with him or against him?
I think that you could have a solution to a lot of your problems right now. I think that the Royals don't have as many long-term solutions in the outfield right now. You're looking to get, you want athletes that can chase balls down in that big cavernous outfield at Kauffman Stadium. Who's faster? He is an elite runner with a great arm.
You faster than Michael Taylor? I don't know, I'm just asking you.
I'll bet you he's as fast.
You faster than Tyreek Hill?
Well, probably not.
Well, there you go.
They don't. Tyreek Hill's not available to play in the outfield.
I don't care.
Michael A. Taylor is not a long term solution at that position.
He's faster than Jerod Dyson.
I don't know about it at this stage in their careers. I think you're looking at a situation where, first of all, we talked about durability is a question mark for Mondesi, right? So maybe if you don't play him every day, he's got a better chance of not getting hurt, so you can rotate him in the outfield with some of these other guys.
Well, so now you don't want him to play every day? It's one thing to move him to the outfield. You don't want him to play every day?
I think put him in the rotation.
What's the rotation?
And then you can figure out, depending on who's healthy, who's pitching for the other team, who's pitching for the Royals even. You can line up your outfield that way. But I just think, they have a couple of guys that are proving to be relatively reliable in the middle infield right now. Mondesi's faster than Whit Merrifield, so he should be able to cover more ground out there.
I hear what you say. Because guess what? The shortstop of the future should be Bobby Witt Jr. anyway.
Right, right.
So whoever's out there is just keeping it warm for Bobby Witt Jr. anyway.
There you go. So
And you know what? Remember when they were talking about Mondesi, where he goes? What's wrong with leaving Hunter Dozier at third base? Why has he got to move? He's playing.
I don't see any reason.
And they made a commitment to him long term, right?
Mm-hmm. Because
remember they talked about when we had JJ on? Mm-hmm. Well, he's shortstop or third base, and it seemed Hunter Dozier was the first one to go. This guy's he's starting to hit. Well, he's on the he's playing. So if you're looking long term too, Mondesi at short, Dozier at third. Witt at short, Dozier at third, and get Mondesi. You said start it now. Get him ready for the outfield. Is that what you want?
Who's the long term answer in center field for the Royals?
Eric Pena. I mean, long term, ways away.
Right.
Like next couple of years.
I feel like Mondesi's got the physical tools to be a solidly above average center fielder.
Do you just say you want them to move him to the center field?
Yes.
All right. Jake sign off on it, or
I know they're paying Michael A. Taylor to play there right now.
I
got to be honest with you, Michael A. Taylor. So far, he's had his good moments and his not so good moments in center field. The range is there, but he's not making all the plays. He's making a lot of them, not all of
okay,
them.
Okay, I feel
and
like
you're
I've,
also comparing him to Lorenzo Cain, though. You know what? Cain would have had that.
Right. Well, I feel like I feel like we pinned him down now.
That's the bar.
To where we got, we got the meat on this bone here. So this is right, because I don't want to mischaracterize what you're saying. You want right now, make Mondesi an outfielder, but not full time, to try to avoid getting him hurt, and put him in the rotation out there.
Yeah, it won't happen. So
it doesn't matter if it'll happen.
I would like to see it happen.
Hey, people tell me they're not going to trade for Orlando Brown Jr. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but like you seem to speak things into existence. I seem to speak things out of existence.
Yeah, because you
tell me they get draft
because
Nick
you
Bolton?
Sit there and say they're not. It's not going to happen. That's why. Because you doubt it.
No,
because you doubt it.
Don't doubt yourself.
Why. The reason why is because I'm thinking of things that are wrong. Too unconventional.
Either tell him he's crazy, or he's crazy like a fox.
He's crazy because they're gonna try to. If he is healthy,
but I'm asking you what they should do. I don't care what they're gonna do. What would you do with Mondesi right now? Tell me.
Mondesi is the type of talent that should be in your lineup every single day.
Where?
Like, where is he playing?
Yeah. Where do you play him? Where do you want? What position?
I mean, I think right now his best position is at shortstop. That's where he's. So I'd want to play the guy at his best position right now. If you're trying to win games, you're not going to take a subtraction putting Whit Merrifield out in the outfield.
Are the Royals better with Mondesi?
I mean, I think they believe they are. I think
I'm asking you.
Yes, they are. If he's healthy and they're better.
You can't be ifs and buts, candies, nuts.
I don't even just say if he's healthy because that's a qualifier.
Is he?
Always.
Right.
So, yes, the Royals are better with Bert Mondesi.
Are they? Because you seem to be not so sure. So I'm going to ask you again. Are the Royals, are these your Kansas City Royals?
Go full heel on them, Nate. Go full heel.
Are they better with Mondesi?
I don't see how you can say that with any certainty.
Well, no, you can't because you don't know if he's healthy or not. But that's not.
He's not even talking about healthy.
I'm not talking about just healthy.
Now
that's part of it.
Talking.
That's part of it. But is he going to be the guy that is an automatic out on three pitch?
How are you going to find out unless you play him every day?
Well, I mean, he's
well, they've tried to play him every day, and he's seems to be reluctant. So.
I don't know if reluctant's the right, a fair word.
I mean, they had him ready to hit third in the lineup, and you know, it's not like there's some
revelation.
Hey, you should try.
I'm
try to play him every day. Like, we're trying, damn it.
I'm ready to give him one more chance.
He's got 1,100 plate appearances already. You know, to show what he can
be. I know you said you can't say, but I'm asking your opinion.
The number, right?
Your opinion,
you
right?
Are
the Royals
you have 3,000 at bats
better with Mondesi? When he comes back, will it improve their chances to win?
Use logic, Nate.
Will you let him answer? There's no wrong answer. It's your opinion. I don't want you to be forced into saying something.
Man,
don't listen.
Such a hard question to answer.
But don't listen. Don't let him.
Such a hard question
bully you.
To answer.
I'm not
saying
bullying
what he
him.
Wants you to say.
I'm not bullying Mr. Nate.
Mr. Nate, answer.
Scratching me across the face, aren't you?
This, you see this team. You know this team.
I think it's such a hard question to answer.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Well, this is sports talk radio.
That's why you get paid the big
bucks. But I'm trying to carefully consider it before I give an answer because I know you guys are going to make a huge deal out of it.
Hold his next check until he answers this damn question because he ain't earning his money.
Are they better?
You listen, Chad?
Are they better?
No.
Like, by the way,
he just said no. They're not. Wow.
That's all I wanted to hear. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I just want to hear what you think, because I respect your opinion.
I'm not
about
saying
this.
They're worse either, but I can't say that they're better.
Stop!
Well,
you stop.
If they're not better, they have
the
to
fence.
Be worse. If,
not
if they're not better,
they
have to be
exactly
okay.
The
you
same.
Have this baseball team here.
Hey, if you're
that's
if
in
you're
first
the same,
place,
then you're going backwards.
You
if you're
have
not
this,
going forward, you're going backwards.
You have this baseball team here, right?
So
that's
they
in
are
first place.
Worse. Yeah. If they're not better,
okay?
They're worse.
Yeah.
If you add, he's not on the team right now.
Right.
Okay.
He's hurt.
If you add him to this team, will they be better?
You know, why don't you break and I'll tell you after the break.
Son
that's
of
a tease.
A...
See, that's called a tease. People want to know what I'm going to say.
That's called bulls.
Shih Tzu. That's what we...
We'll be back after this on WHB. Thank you.
Smudge.